please join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's scripture reading from the Gospel of Luke is familiar. We know that this is going to be filled with joy and excitement in Mary's song. Now, the meeting between Mary and Elizabeth is unusual. Think about it. Elizabeth, this older woman, is going to have a child. And she has no one to talk to at home because Zechariah was struck mute. And then Mary shows up. And Mary is an interesting figure. Mary is not just the mother of our Lord Jesus. Mary is a virgin or a young woman. And in her society, in her day and age, she had no standing. No one would pay attention to her. Yet, somehow, we have this Magnificat, this song. And what she says is really rather remarkable. Now, for those of you who have had children, I imagine that when you got the good news, you were pleased, maybe a little bit nervous, and you wanted to share the good tidings with others once you felt it was safe to do so. I don't know that any of you would have sung a song like Mary. If I'm wrong, please correct me. Now, of course, we don't know just what Mary would have said and what prayer she may have offered at that time, because the only two people present that we know of were Mary and Elizabeth. And Zechariah may have been there, but again, he couldn't speak. So who is taking notes? Writing this down for posterity. Well, I remember back when I was a young man, I went to a young adults group meeting at my church in Boston. And I remember when our pastor Jim began to talk about the Magnificat. And he began to deconstruct it in the way people who like theology and who spend a lot of time reading books about religion will do. And of course, he caught all of us off guard when he said that this was based on the Song of Hannah back in the Hebrew Bible. And we thought, why are you telling us this? What does this add to our understanding of Scripture? And you may be wondering that too. Well, the birth of Jesus was so important that Luke felt the need to provide us with a story about. And this is the beginning of his gospel. And if you look at what Mary says, her words are pretty powerful. And you might think Mary is politically aware. Mary is something of a rabble-rouser. We don't know what Mary's political views were. We do know that Luke seemed to have an issue with the Romans, which is not surprising. If you look at the words of Mary, there is a recognition of God's promises to Israel here. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors. in her society is the spokesperson. And Elizabeth is the one with whom she speaks. We don't hear from Zechariah. We don't hear from Joseph. The men are silent. And the Gospels here, I think, are telling us something we need to pay attention to. Now, this should be a no-brainer for us, but women matter. And women can be spokespeople for God, and they are able to share the glory and wonder of God's work. And here we have the mother of the messenger, who will be John, and the mother of the message, Jesus. And they are given center stage. The gospel writers recognized the importance of women. Now, the church has often forgotten. And I say that in the church. But that doesn't mean we need to fall down on the job. And we don't need to wait to do the right thing. We don't need to wait to recognize women's contributions to the church or to propagation of our faith. We don't need to wait to recognize that God works through women just as God works through men. And that is something we can talk about today, and I suspect our attention will move on to something else next Sunday. And we as a community need to resist that temptation. Now, I am not offering some manifesto here. I'm just saying this is what's right to do. And I hope that all of you would agree with me. Jesus is coming. And remember, who did he spend his time with? He spent his time with the disciples and the women who were his friends. Mary, Martha, those are names that appear throughout Jesus' story. And remember the bookend to this gospel, Jesus' resurrection. Who finds that Jesus has been resurrected? It's the women. The women. So, I made a joking remark with Joe Shelby before worship that this was a somewhat uncomfortable Sunday for me to preach on. And it's not because I'm comfortable saying what I'm saying, but, again, I'm the man. And I know I've been called to be your minister, but this would be a good day for us to have heard a woman preach. And we should be grateful that we have women who are in the ministry, preach. And we are grateful for the women in our congregation who provide us with leadership, whether in the diaconate or the council, or working with our money, or many of the other activities that take place. So, God has made promises to us. And those promises have been kept. We need to be willing to see them. We need to be willing to see how God has fulfilled his promises to us. And Christmas is a really good time for us to welcome the gift of grace and love that God has given us. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for Mary and for Elizabeth, for their faithful witness that has inspired so many people.